1 John chapter number 4 is where we're going to go in the Bible tonight. 1 John chapter number 4. If I can keep my voice relaxed enough, I can make it through this with no problem at all. And used to be this happened to me a whole lot preaching because I don't preach correctly. I get too loud and I don't project from my diaphragm, and I understand all that. I know that. I've actually gone to voice lessons to try and help with that. I'm just a slow learner, so y'all pray for me on that. My wife, she likes it when I can't talk, so it's a blessing to her. But anyway, 1 John chapter number 4. And as we introduce these books of the Bible, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, we're not going to go through all of them. We're just going to hit just a few verses in 1 John chapter number 4. But I think it's important for us to understand that when John wrote these books, John was not writing to the lost. John was writing to Christians. That's very important when you read 1 John to understand who the audience was who he's writing to. It would be, for example, John writing a letter to Victory Baptist Church. He's not writing a letter to the lost. And if you're not careful, as you read through 1 John, 2 John, or even 3 John, and you start reading some of the way he words some of the things in these books, you think, well, maybe I could lose my salvation, or maybe there's something's not right with this. It's important to understand that it's written to Christians. So this book is written to us as believers. It's not written to the lost. It's written to you and I. In 1 John chapter number 4, we're going to look at, if you would please, with me at verse number 9. We'll start reading there. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 9. I love this passage. The Bible says this: in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, Christians, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. I love talking about love. I really do. I got married 28 years ago. I am having the time. I am so thankful to be married. I really am. I mean that. I am madly in love. I am. If my wife were here, I'd put a big old smooch right on her mouth right now. I would do it in a heartbeat. I'm not scared of public displays of affection. I'm not scared of that. That doesn't bother me. Now she'll hit me. My daughters, if I do something like that, my daughter's like, "Ew, Dad," and they're 21 and 24. And they're like, "Oh, Dad, stop. That's gross." And I have no problem with that. Why? Because I love my bride. I love talking about love. Do you know where love generates, where love is from? Love is not just some emotion that we experience in life. The Bible is very clear about this. Love is a product of God Almighty. The Bible says God is love. How do we love one another? It's only because of God. Hey, can I tell you, I wrote down three simple points tonight. And again, I don't know that I can hold out long enough to preach real long, but I wrote this down. I wrote down number one, God's demonstration of love for us. Oh, I never want to get over that cross of Calvary. I never want to get over the fact that God sent his only Son to hang on the cross, to suffer, to bleed, to die for me, to be buried and be raised again. Why? So I could have eternal life, so that I could be reconciled with God Almighty. I'm so thankful for the love of Christ. I learned the verse as a child. For God so loved the world. But I like saying that verse, not God so loved the world, and I'm not changing the Bible, I'm applying the Bible. Here's what I mean. For God so loved Kurt Copeland that he gave his only begotten son, that if Kurt Copeland would believe in him, he should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God didn't write the Bible to us as a textbook. God wrote the Bible to us as a living, breathing book for today. So John 3:16 is written to you. It's written to me. And it's all about the love of Jesus for us. The love of God for us. Oh, don't ever let it get old that God loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'm on my way to heaven because Jesus. Have you ever felt, have you ever had one of those days where you feel like no one loves you? Where it feels like everyone's turned their back on you? You ever had one of those days? There's been some of those days when it's happened to me. You say, well, you're married. Well, there's been one or two times since I've been married where I wonder if my wife really was very happy with me and if that love was just conditional on my being nice to her. I say that kind of jokingly. But there's been times where life gets rough, doesn't it? I know none of you men do anything dumb, but every now and then I do something dumb and my wife would be like, what are you thinking? And then she might even finish up that statement like, you really just weren't thinking, were you? Because we men aren't the brightest bulbs in the pack. I put myself in the, I say that, I shouldn't say that because some of y'all are extremely smart. I'm talking about myself. But sometimes we do some pretty dumb things. And there's sometimes when you finish doing something dumb, you look back at your life, you think, how in the world could I be so dumb as to do something like that? Why would I have done that? And yet the truth is, in the midst of our stupidity, God still loves us. The Bible says that that God is the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation, I can't spell it, but I looked it up in the dictionary. The word propitiation means this: the act of gaining the favor or goodwill of someone. Second definition, the covering or atoning sacrifice. Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his demonstration of love for me, covered my sin. And I want you to understand, I know we all know this, but I don't ever want it to get old. I can't talk about the love of Jesus, the love of God for me enough. The fact that God loves me, a sinner who's saved by grace, a sinner who deserves the hottest spot in a place called hell, but yet God loves me. Praise the Lord. God loves you. But the story, the passage doesn't end there. We read here in verses 9 and 10 how much God loves us. But I want you to see verses 11 and 12. It's almost like John looks at us and says, hey, there ought to be a response of the love of God in your life. Verse 11, he says this: beloved, if God so loved us. Okay, so Victory Baptist Church, if God so loved us, so does God love us? Help me out. Does God love us? Yes. There's no question about it. God loves us. Victory Baptist Church, in 2022, God loves us. And so verse 11 is written to us, Victory Baptist Church. If God so loved us, we ought also to love who? One another. Okay, so have you ever found some people who you find it easy to love? Sure. We all have people who we find it easy to love. People, but have you ever found some people who kind of get on your nerves? Don't point. But some of y'all are going to be pointing at me right now. You ever found someone who gets on your nerves? You ever found someone that you have a hard time getting along with? You ever had that person? Do you know what I mean when I say we all have our own personal bubble? You know what I mean? Have you ever talked to someone who they don't understand that there's a personal bubble, a personal space? COVID should have helped with some of that, but I don't know that it really helped with some people or not. But have you ever been around some people who, when they talk to you, they want to get really, really, really close up and personal with you? And they're like, "Hi, how are you doing?" And you're like, "Oh, back up just a little bit. Or here's a Tic Tac or a cert. Here you go. Did you brush your teeth this morning?" That person gets up and you, I had a teenager. By the way, I am great with it when my wife gets in my personal bubble. I am great with that. But really, outside of her, my daughters, that's okay too. There's even a little bit of a distance there, I think. And my mom, I mean, I love my mom, but really the only person I'm comfortable with getting in that personal bubble is my wife. And I enjoy it when she does. Have you ever been around someone who just gets on your nerves, or they rub you the wrong way? We had a young lady in our youth ministry. You say, "Did you ever have favorites in the youth ministry?" Yep, sure did. We had a large youth ministry. We had a bunch of teenagers, and there were some teenagers that I just loved to be around. There were some teenagers, when you saw them coming, you're like, "Oh, Lord, help me here. Lord, I need your help." And we had one young lady, if I saw her coming, you know, it's the kind of person where you pick up your phone and you like act like you're on the phone. Oh, pardon me for a second. Yes, yes, yeah. Hey, yeah, I know you wanted to call, and just a second. Yeah, yeah. And that person's come up to you. Your phone hadn't even rung, and you're acting like you're on the phone so that you're not having to talk to. Yeah, yeah. And then while you're faking on the phone, your phone rings. And you're like, "Oh, wow, look at that, that's pretty unique." And you answer the phone then. You see that person coming, and they come down this wall, aisle way here, and you see them coming, so you go out that aisle way there. And again, I know it doesn't happen here at Victory. I know it doesn't. But in some places you go, there are some people who get on your nerves. And this girl in our youth ministry, I won't give her name, but this girl in our youth ministry, she was in 7th or 8th grade. She was actually all the way through. She went all the way through and graduated while I was there. But when she was young, you'd see her coming. And there was this cartoon that came out, Monsters, Inc., I think was the name of it. And there was a lady on Monsters, Inc., and forgive me for using this example. I probably shouldn't do that in preaching. But there was this lady on there called Roz. Some of y'all seen it? And Roz had that voice. Her voice was, "Michael Wazowski, I'm watching you." And that she literally said that line in there. And this girl in our youth ministry sounded just like her. She'd come up, she'd say, "Brother Kurt," and she's this far away from me. And I'm like, "Back up. I can't handle it. I just can't." You say, do some people get on your nerves? Yes. Yes, there's some people in life who get on your nerves. There's some people who it's easy to get along with, and there's other people it's kind of hard to get along with. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know what John, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, said here in 1 John chapter 4? He said, because God loves us the way he does, we ought also to love one another. And he doesn't say, we ought to love those who we get along with. We ought to love those who are easy to love. But those other ones that are, you know, they get on your nerves, just ignore them. Don't answer their phone call. Ugh, it's them again. I know I'm preaching to myself. I'm not preaching to y'all. But I look at this passage of Scripture, and I see, number one, God's demonstration of love for us. And I see, number two, the directive of God to love one another. God demonstrated it, and he gave us the command, love one another. Love each other. Show the love of Christ to those around you. God commanded us to love each other. Well, I tell you, why is it so hard then? Why is it so hard to love some people? I've met people who've said to me, "Brother Kurt, I haven't talked to that family member in 25 years. And I know circumstances direct some of that. I understand that. I understand there's hurt. I understand there's pain. I understand there's things that have taken place. But I do also understand that God commands us to love them. God's command. Yeah, but Brother Kurt, you don't understand how they hurt me. I know. And humanly speaking, we have every right in the world not to love someone else because of what they've done to us. But biblically speaking, we're commanded to love them. But Brother Kurt, you don't know how they hurt our pastor. God says love them. But Brother Kurt, you don't know how they hurt our church. God says love them. But Brother Kurt, you don't understand how they attacked my family. God says love them. But Brother Kurt, you don't know, and I can go on and on and on and on, given the excuses that we have of why we don't demonstrate love to others. And again, I know you wouldn't do this, but have you ever been driving down the road and that car gets up on your back bumper like they're trying to check out your VIN number on your front of your windshield, and they're coming up behind? You ever had that car get behind you and they're like right behind you, and you're obeying the law of the land, you're doing the right speed, and you look in your mirror and that guy's behind you, he's like, you know, he's all sorts of motions, and then he speeds around you. And on the wrong side. And then he jets over in front of you and cuts you off. And you're like, well, almost wrecking. You know what that makes me want to do? And again, I know you would never do this, but it makes me want to speed up right on his back bumper and start acting like I'm going to run into his back bumper and then jet over and speed around him and cut him off and slam on my brakes. You know why I don't? Because my wife is sitting next to me. No, you know why I don't? Because God says I'm commanded to love that person. That person working at the restaurant who messed up your order, God says you're to love them. That person working at the grocery store that's bagging your groceries for you, getting the things, God says you're commanded to love them. Hey, that person who's your neighbor who throws their clippings from their yard onto your yard, God commands us to love them. Can I have you look at one passage of Scripture? Go to the book of John. Hold your spot there in 1 John. We'll come back to it for one more point. But go to 1 John, or excuse me, the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 13. One of the most convicting verses in the Bible to me in this matter. John chapter 13. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 35. Jesus preaches. Matter of fact, go back up to verse 34. Jesus is preaching. By the way, Jesus is my favorite preacher. His voice never gave out. he could just cut loose and let her fly. Good old Southern expression. Verse 34, here's what he says. Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. God says, I command it, love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you smile when you're at church. Is that what it says? If you give a love offering, is that what it says? If you're nice to your neighbors, no. Here's what the Bible says. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I'm just here to tell you tonight, we have steered away from this theme of love in our churches, and I don't understand why, because God is very clear. We are commanded to love one another. And you know, sometimes we're guilty of doing, we're in church right now, we're hearing a message like this, and we tend to think, well, I sure wish so-and-so was here to hear this message. They sure need this message. I'm going to send them a Facebook message and tell them to make sure they go back and watch this message, because they sure need this one. You know what preaching is for? Preaching is not for the person next to you. Preaching is for us. It's for me. And when God says, By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one for another. The greatest picture, the greatest display of the love of God for anyone is the way we choose to love them. Takes me to point number three. Point number three. Number one was the demonstration of love. Number two was the directive to love. Number three is the decision to love. I want you to look, if you would please, at verse 13. Hereby know we, back at our text, 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. He goes on, he talks about how this love is demonstrated. Do you know what I understand by this passage of Scripture? It's this. It's my decision whether or not I'm going to obey God. You see, that's the difference between knowing what the Bible says and doing it. James says it this way. Don't be just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. We all know people who can quote Bible, don't we? We all know people who act spiritual, don't we? We all know people who can put on a good show and give the right answers. But there's a difference between quoting the Scripture and living the Scripture. And that's why I put down point number three, the decision to love. Because it's really up to us. Are we going to obey what God's commanded here in 1 John chapter 4? Or are we just going to say, yes, God is love and God loves me and I love God. And we stop there, because that vertical love produces a horizontal love. But yet then some of us, me, will bow up, will decide we're going to do it our own way. And God, I'll love everybody but that person. That person right there. God, that person, no. I'm done. I wrote this down in my notes. Someone gave me this quote. The quote is this. People will forget what you said. Start over. I stuttered a little bit. People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. Did you catch that? What is that? That's displaying the love of God to others. Case in point or example of that, your pastor is a fantastic preacher. He's a fireball. I love the man. I love being around him. Can you tell me what he preached last Sunday morning for the Sunday morning service? Matter of fact, Brother Hartman, right now, he is in his brain thinking, what did I preach last Sunday morning? What was last Sunday morning? Where was I at? What did I... Now, he's going through, you just mentioned, you're going through a series of some things, so it makes it a little bit easier to remember. It's Mother's Day, that helps too, yes. I forgot it was Mother's Day. Thank you for reminding me. Hey, can I tell you, the truth is, you're going to forget what he preaches. It's humbling to me as a preacher. I'll go in someplace and I'll preach, and someone will come to me and say, oh, Brother Kurt, I remember that story you told about when you and your brothers and all that. And they'll tell me the stories I told. And I'll stop and I'll think in my mind, what was that sermon about, though? What was the point of the sermon? What was God's message? Not the story that helps people understand or helps people remember, but what was the point of the passage? What was the point of the message? You know what? People forget that. But what can I tell you this? You have a guest that comes into Victory Baptist Church and they sit in the back and they don't know anybody and they're nervous and they're scared, and some people will come and sit in a church, a great church like Victory Baptist Church, and sometimes they'll come in and sit in a church like this and no one will say hi to them. No one will speak to them. And they'll come in and they'll leave and they'll go tell their friends, yeah, I went to that old church down there, but no one even shook my hand. It was the most unfriendly church in the world. Yeah, you ever heard someone say that about a different? They'd never say it about Victory. I know they wouldn't. But have you ever heard someone say that about another church? Why do they say that? Because we forget to show the love of Christ to someone else. People won't come. This is a terrible statement to make. People won't come and stay at Victory Baptist Church because of the preaching of Brother Aaron Hartman. Oh, they'll love the preaching of Brother Hartman, but they won't come and stay because of his preaching. You know why they'll stay? Because of the love they feel from the body of Christ here. But that's your decision. That's up to you. We had a young man who was in our youth ministry years ago. This young man was different. I think that's the politically correct way. Instead of saying weird or odd, he was different. He was one of those guys who was kind of an easy target. You know what I mean? There were no terms back when I was a kid. I'm 51. There were no terms when I was a kid. I don't ever remember hearing the term bullying. That's a catchphrase now. I mean, that's a very popular term now. Back when I was a kid, you got called every name under the sun, politically correct or not politically correct. You just got called it. My brothers called me names. There's no way I would repeat what they said. And they called me those names all the time. Nothing politically correct about that. We had a young man. He was one of those easy targets where kids could pick on him. And kids can be ruthless, can't they? Kids sometimes don't think what they're saying before it comes out of their mouth. We as adults, we still think it. We just don't say it as much. I don't know which is worse. We have to study the Bible to figure that one out. But the truth is this young man came to our youth ministry and he was just different. And I noticed from the onset, this young man stayed to himself. He was a loner. No one really talked to him. He had no friends. I remember this young man in our youth ministry always sat by himself in the same spot every service. And when he came through the doors, he'd slide through the doors quietly. He wouldn't greet anyone. He'd go straight to his seat and he'd sit down. And when he sat down, he'd just put his head down and stare at the carpet right in front of him. In my heart, I thought, well, bless God, the Bible says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. And I believe that principle to be true. It's Bible. No doubt it's true. But I remember thinking this in my mind, Brother Aaron. I remember thinking, Brother Corey, I remember thinking, I want to go out of my way to help that young man feel special, feel important. And so I made it a point every time he came through the doors, every time he walked into that church service, I would make sure that I'd see him coming in. And we had a fairly large youth room, and I would go to that door, basically one entrance into the auditorium. I'd go to that door, and as soon as I saw him coming in the door, I'd stick my hand out and I'd shake his hand. He didn't even want to shake my hand, but I made him. This was before COVID, long before COVID. I made him. Sometimes when I stuck my hand out to shake his hand, I'd pull him into me, and I'd throw my other arm around his shoulder. I'd pat him on the back. I'd call him by name and I'd say, I'm so glad you're in church tonight. He wouldn't respond. He'd just walk through, go to that little spot he always sat at, stay right there. I remember going to his house. I made it a practice to make sure I visited every one of our teens every year in their home. And so I went to his house, knocked on his front door. I didn't call ahead and say, hey, I'm coming to your house to see you. I just show up. It's amazing what you find out when you just show up at a family. You know, I never warned any families before I knocked at the door. Some of you are like, well, I'm glad you're not here then. But I just knock on the door. Never going in. It was never my point to go in the house. I just knock on the door. They'd come to the door. Oh, Brother Kurt, what are you doing? No, just came to see your son. Really? What did he do? Nothing. He's a good young man. I just want him to know I love him. I just want him to know that he's important to me. And these parents, sometimes I'd say something like this. I just want you to know he's one of the greatest young men I know. And they would say, you've got the wrong house. You can't be talking about my son. No. I am talking. I'm calling my name again. I'm talking about your son. He means the world. And I'd shake their hand. They'd go back and they'd go get their son. He'd come to the door and he'd come in just sheepishly to the door. Hi. Calling by name. Man, I just want you to know. My wife and I, we love you. Jesus loves you. God has a plan for your life. I just wanted you to know. I just stopped by today to tell you that I care. I'd pray with him just a simple little, 10-second prayer. Finish with him. Give him a high five. Maybe a fist pump. Tell him I see him Wednesday night in church, Sunday morning in church. I turn around and leave. That was all it was. His senior year. He started coming in the back door looking for me. Before he'd come in, he'd try and hide and go tuck away into the corner. He started coming in looking for me. If I wasn't standing there, if I was somewhere else in that little auditorium, he'd walk in and he'd look for me. As soon as he found me, he'd walk straight. He's a senior in high school. He'd walk straight to me, stick his hand out, shake my hand, say, "Brother Kurt, I'm here tonight." I'm like, "That's pretty obvious you're here tonight." And I'd look at him, I'd say, "I'm so glad you're here. Say, I love you. So thankful for you." He graduated. He's done with high school. He's faithful in church. He told me not too long ago, he said this. He said, "Brother Kurt, I didn't even want to live. No one cared about me. I was a problem to mom and dad. I was a problem at school. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want anything to do with anybody." He said, the only thing that kept me going was I knew when I got to church, there'd be someone there who'd stick their hand out, look me in the eye, call me by name and say, "I love you and I'm praying for you. I'm so thankful for you." You know what that is? That's not a pat on the back for Kurt Copeland. What that is, that's a God thank you moment. God, thank you for allowing me to be a blessing to someone else. And I wonder in my heart, who at Victory is that person who you have the love of Christ and you're ready to show it to everybody? That person comes through the door next Sunday morning, it's a first-time guest, and you're on them like white on rice. You're on them, not obnoxiously like, "Oh, so glad." I'm not talking about being weird, but I'm talking about demonstrating the love of Christ. You know what you'll find? That person's going to leave. They're going to go tell their friends. There's something different. Not in a weird way. Not in a bad way. But there's something different about those folks over there at Victory. There's love over there at Victory. Those people over there, they love us. Y'all obviously love the kids because they're all over out there. That's awesome. But let's choose to show the love of Christ to everyone. Maybe there's a family member you haven't talked to in a while because they made you mad. Humanly, it's going to be impossible to love them. But we're not talking humanly. We're talking about Jesus Christ loving them through us. "Yeah, but you don't know how they hurt me." I understand. I don't need to know how. I don't need to know all the details. Can I tell you this, though? God says, love them. Love them. "Well, they left the church." Love them. Love them. "Yeah, but you don't know what they're saying about us. Hey, love them. Love them. Demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ to everyone. And watch God bless. But it's our choice. I'm going to pray. I want to encourage him. "Pastor, you do whatever you want to do as far as it. I don't know what you do on Sunday night. I should have asked you ahead of time. I didn't have a voice to ask you ahead of time, so I couldn't have asked you. But the truth is I just want to love people. I want people to know when they've been around me, It's not me. It's not my personality. To be honest with you, my personality is I want to hide. I want to go to a room by myself and watch the Chicago Cubs lose. Because that's all they ever do. Almost. By the way, I'm a Cubs fan. I am a diehard Cubs fan. I'm not saying that to knock the Cubs. I'm saying it because we know it's true. They are the lovable losers once again. Truth is, that's my personality. I don't want to be around people. But I push myself to be around people. Why? Because I want to encourage those people around me that God loves them. Would you do it? Would you share that love with those around you? Lord, I thank you for your word. 1 John is an amazing book. And God